This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين قال فاهبط منها فما يكون لك أن تتكبر فيها فاخرج إنك من الصاغرين قال أنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون قال إنك من المنظرين قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين قال اخرج منها مذءوما مدحورا لمن تبعك منهم لأملأن جهنم منكم أجمعين
نبدأ الآن. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، Verily all praise and glory is due to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is due to Him and none other. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, we ask Him for His mercy. We testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship except Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and final messenger. I remind myself and you of the important ayah in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to you and I clearly, directly, explicitly by saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, al-nida al-muhabbab, O ye who believe. This is the most glorious definition, term, sifa, given to the people of Islam. This word, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, was not earned by the Sahaba until after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is how the fuqaha of tafsir, they show us. How you know an ayah was narrated and delivered and received by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca or Medina. One of the ways is that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind in general, this verse and this surah that this verse is in was revealed in Mecca. You know automatically, except for Surah Al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, it shows that the Muslims had transitioned to a period of flourishing belief in Allah. So Allah labeled them, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ye who believe. اتقوا الله حق تقاته. Fear Allah, the fear that He's most deserving of you. ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Do not die unless you are in the state of al-Islam. Before I begin my topic, I wish to introduce it with an example of how the shaitan can lead a Muslim away from Ar-Rahman. Our topic tonight with you, my brothers and sisters, in the city of Sydney. Our topic with you is knowing that the shaitan, al-adu, is the enemy. I introduce it by giving you an example of a Muslim sister. Extremely bright, intelligent, received a scholarship to the most prestigious engineering school in North America. Very bright girl. But the city that this school was in was of a different state, and she would have to live in the residences of the university away from home and her parents. And being parents who were honored to have a smart girl who earned a scholarship, they wholeheartedly shipped their daughter off. And she lived in the companionship of a Buddhist, two Christians, and two Hindus. She ate with them. She used the same bathroom they used. She went out with them and she attended classes with them. 24 hours of her day was in the company of these people. But this Muslim sister used to wear hijab, alhamdulillah. And I say she used to. To let you know what will come, I am forecasting what will happen. She used to wear hijab. And she was very enthusiastic of being in university. And people who are sophomores and seniors in university, we label freshmen. People who are entering school for the first year as fresh meat. They're fresh meat, the young girls. And she began to write articles defending Islam in the Weekly Chronicle of the university. Tragically, she became infatuated secretly. She loved a person who was an atheist. She never mentioned it. But this atheist man began to sit with her and discuss Islam. Tell me about your religion. Why do you wear hijab? Why are you named this type of ethnic Islamic name? And she began to enjoy her conversations, and it built day after day to the point that he convinced her that hijab was dishonor and oppression and subjugation of women, and that it eliminates your rights and causes you to be inferior to men. An atheist. So she removed her hijab without informing her parents. All through this year that she was living away from home, her parents not once visited her. Paid her a surprise visit. Not once. Finally, after attending university for 2 years, she wrote her parents a letter. And her parents and her sister, her younger sister, emailed me asking what they should do. The letter states, I can no longer live a life built on lies. I must inform you that I no longer believe in your God. In fact, I believe in no God. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa la tattabi'u khutuwat ash-shaytan. Do not follow the steps of shaytan. Shaytan didn't come to the sister the first day and say, be non-Muslim. Take off your hijab. Disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. Steps. Footsteps. Small or large, he's constantly moving forward. So this Muslim sister, this previous Muslim sister's family, writes, is she permitted to enter our home? Can we spend on her? Can we give her food from our halal food? Are we permitted to discuss the issue with her? Her younger sister says, can I debate my sister? So we sent the question to the ulama and they replied, her family are to not ever feed her. Allow her in her home, in their home. Allow their younger daughter to even see her or interact with her. It becomes fard for the Muslim community other than her family to call her back to Islam so that she will not influence her own immediate family. Her own family, ya ikhwan. Ash-shaytan came that same day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. And because of his kibriya and arrogance, he began a mission. لَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ I will misguide them. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ And I will promise them everything in hopes of misguiding them. This is the promise of the shaitan. لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ He's going to try to deceive you and trick you and to promise you things that he can never fulfill for you. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the shaitan out. اخرج منها. Exit. You are no longer from those who are worthy. So the shaitan promised, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ I'm going to come from in front of them. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ And from behind them. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ And from their right. وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ And from their left. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ And I'm going to do all I can, Ya Allah, to make sure that many of them will never thank you for all of the ni'am that you have given them. The shaitan, Ya Ikhwan, shall attack you in many ways. He will come from inside you. Know that with every human being, Muslim or kafir, Muslim or Christian, Muslim or Jew, Muslim or other, with every human being there is a shaitan who is constantly, 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, constantly with him, trying to bring him off as-sirat al-mustaqim. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع كل إنسان شيطان. He says to Aisha, رضي الله عنها, with every, والحديث في الصحيحين, in both Bukhari and Muslim. O Aisha, with every human being there is a shaitan. قالت ومعي. She became afraid. With me? Even with me? The wife of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم? قال نعم. Yes. مع كل إنسان قال نعم with every human yes ومعك أنت يا رسول الله what about you O messenger of Allah قال نعم ولكن yes but don't forget the but ولكن الله أعانني عليه فأسلم Allah allowed me to overpower him and he became Muslim. فَلَا يَأْمُرَنِي إِلَّا بِالْخَيْرِ He only orders me to do good. صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان معتكفا والحديث عند الإمام مسلم He was in اعتكاف صلى الله عليه وسلم during the month of Ramadan. Safiyya bint Huyay, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anha, she says, I came to him, لِأَزُورَهُ, to visit him, while he is in i'tikaf. فَتَحَدَّثْتُ مَعَهُ قَلِيلًا I sat and I spoke with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَامَ لِيَقْلِبُنِي إِلَى الْبَيْتِ He stood up and left the i'tikaf to walk her home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَرَّ رَجُلَيْنِ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ Two men in the darkness of the Ansar, the people of Medina, passed by us a little distance away. فَأَسْرَعَ When they saw that the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم was with a woman, they ran away. فَنَدَاهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم عَلَى رِسْلِكُمَا Wait, return to me. إنها صفية بنت حيي زوج نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم Come here. This is my wife. Don't have suspicion. And the scholars of Al-Islam, they show us that if you're doing something halal, but it may be perceived as haram, you must explain what you're doing. Using this hadith. He says, it is the wife of your messenger, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقالوا, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we would never have suspicion in you. أنت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. But he made it clear why he did this. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. Shaytan flows through the veins of the children of Adam as blood flows in them. The shaytan is near you. He's the one who tells you, forget to set the alarm clock for Fajr. He's the one that tells you, it's okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay that your daughter doesn't wear hijab although she is old. It's okay that you as a man not go to Salatul Jumu'ah. He comes to you in this little whisper. Yuwaswis inside you. Majra dam, the flowing of blood. So the shaitan is near. But how does he attack you and I? The first thing that the shaitan wants for you to do is disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. He will open to you 100 doors of good, like what he did to this previous Muslim sister. He told her, sit. Tell them about Islam. You're giving da'wah. When Allah says, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. When they are discussing issues that are against Islam, that are derogatory to Islam, turn away from them until they change their speech. But she remained. The shaytan wants you to disbelieve. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اقْفُرْ. Allah says in the Quran, it is the example of the shaytan who tells a human being, disbelieve. فَلَمَّا قَفَرْ. When the person disbelieves in Allah, thinking that now he's attained what is good, the shaytan leaves him and says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. The shaytan says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear Allah. I'm away from you. On the day of judgment, after the Muslims have entered Al-Jannah, you and I will be in Jannah. Don't say inshallah. Have yaqeen. You and I are in Jannah. We are Muslim. We say La ilaha illallah. Muhammadun Rasulullah. You and I are in Jannah. And the people of disbelief are in the fire. And Allah describes it in Surah Ibrahim, what the shaitan shall say. He's going to stand on his minbar, his pulpit in the fire, and he's going to give a khutbah. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaitan, on the day when they shall enter the fire, he shall stand up in Jahannam and give his people a khutbah. And Allah tells us in Surah Ibrahim, when everything has been decided, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. And the shaytan shall say, when everything has been decided, people of Jannah, you and I are in Jannah, and people of the fire are in fire, the shaytan shall say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. O people of the fire, Allah had promised you a true promise. Pray, fast, hijab, salah, siyam, hajj, taqwa, iman, jannah. Wa'ad al-haq. On the day of judgment, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. We shall be gathered in a group, muwahideen, and brought to the jannah in a group, حتى إذا جاءوها when we approach the Jannah وفتحت أبوابها as we approach its gates shall open to us. وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم. The angels in the Jannah waiting at the gates shall say السلام عليكم. طبتم, you've done good. فادخلوها خالدين. Enter Jannah forever. What will you and I say? قالوا الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده. Who has kept his promise to us. إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم. Allah promised you the true promise and I, the shaitan, promised you also things فأخلفتكم. But what I promised you I did not fulfill. وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان. I had no power over you. Did the shaitan ever take your hand and make you do something? I had no power over you illa an da'awtukum. I only made da'wah. Shaitan makes da'wah. Illa an da'awtukum. I called you to it. Fastajabtum li, and you obeyed what I called you to. Tragically, Muslims, you make da'wah to Muslims. And they refuse. But when the shaitan makes his da'wah, استجبتم لي, you accepted. فلا تلوموني. Don't you ever dare blame me. لوموا أنفسكم. Blame yourselves. ما أنا بمصرخكم وما أنتم بمصرخي. I cannot help you, save you, and you cannot help me or save me. This is the words of the shaitan. He shall say this to the people in Jahannam. Let us wake up. Let us realize that the promises of the shaitan are evil. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اقْفُرْ فَلَمَّا قَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ. I am free of you. Once you enter into his realm and you accept, the shaitan rejects you and says, I'm free. I didn't tell you to do it. I only called you. You did it. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear Allah. The shaitan says, I fear Allah. رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He admits the Lord of all that exists. The scholars of tafsir, they give us the story of a man named Birsisa, who was a Jewish scholar. And it was a Jewish abid, worshipper. Before the Risala of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was a monk, and the Jews and the Christians, they used to be monks. Although in Islam, we do not permit monkship. So this Jewish man lived alone, unmarried, alone, in the middle of nowhere. And there were three young shabab, full of taqwa, full of iman, wanting to go and defend Allah, the religion of Allah. They wanted to go and make jihad. But they had a younger sister. And they had no father and mother, and they were taking care of her. And what did they say? They said, who can we leave our sister with who will protect her, and we will not fear that he will sin with her? Birsisa. So they pleaded with him, and at first he said, never will I accept your sister in my home. So they said, we will build her a home near yours. Shaitan, don't worry, not with you, near you. So he agreed. They said, only thing we ask is that at the time of food, when you feed yourself, take her a plate and put it at her door. Don't knock. Don't do any of that. Just put it at her door. So they went to al-jihad and they left their sister alone in this home. And he would come and put the food. But one day, a pack of ravaging wild dogs came and ate it. So the shaitan came to him and said, put the food at her door and knock, so that she will know the food is there and nothing will come and take it. And later, and this isn't in steps of days, but months. Months! The shaitan came and told him, she must be lonely. Knock on the door and wait until she opens and say, Assalamu alaikum. And later, instead of eating alone and she eating alone, sit with her and remind her of Al-Akhirah. And then later, sit with her and allow her to study with you. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal hadith fil Bukhari, never will a man and a woman who are not maharim, not close family members who cannot marry one another, be in seclusion and alone together, except who is the third party? Answer me. A shaitan. Al-khulasa, they committed zina. They fell into sin and fornicated. And she became pregnant. And the shaitan came to this man who was a scholar, an abid. The shaitan came to him and said, "Iftadaha amruk." Now everyone is gonna know what you did. You can't deny it. She's pregnant. She holds your child. اقتل ولدها. Strike her in her stomach. Cause her to have a miscarriage. Kill the child. But when he struck her, she also died. So the shaitan came to him and said, bury her. Because if her brothers see her with her stomach full, they will know what happened. And then the shaitan came to her brothers and told them, go check on your sister. See what she's doing. They returned and the man told them that she's dead. And in one of their dreams, they saw this pious man committing fornication with their sister. So they came together and opened the grave and saw her condition as being pregnant. So they came to him. And he confessed. And due to the ghayrah, proper jealousy, they brought him forth and they put him to trial. And the punishment is death for such an act. And as he was about to die, the shaitan came to him and said, Ukfur, disbelieve and I will help you. So he disbelieved in Allah. And when he died, the shaitan said, Inni bari'un mink. I've done all I need. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am the one that fears Allah, the Lord of all that exists. خطوات الشيطان. The shaitan will attack you in ways, my brothers and sisters, that you must understand. First, we told you he will try to come to you with shirk and kufr, even if it may seem as doing good. Be careful. This is why we follow the sunnah. This is why we follow Muhammad. Because if you follow his steps, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in doing good, you won't be tricked in doing good in a wrong way. Sometimes you wish to do good, and you do good, but it's wrong. The scholars of Al-Islam tell us, if a person completes a mission and the way he did it was wrong, but he attained the proper goal, he will not be rewarded for it. Because the way he did it was wrong. by any means necessary is a disbelieving concept. The goals outweigh the means, or if you do and attain the goal, it doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there, this is disbelieving mentality. It's equally important how we attain our objective as attaining it. The shaitan will come to you and entice you to zina. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't come close to committing adultery or fornication. You may think, Ya akhi, none of us commit zina. None of us commit adultery. Hashallah. We are a pure people. My brothers and sisters, if only one of our Muslim women or our Muslim men fall into the sin because we did not remind them, it is on all of our shoulders. Just in Melbourne alone, in Australia alone, there are, I will not exaggerate, and I will say there are many cases of it. In Australia, of Muslim women and Muslim men who have strayed from Allah Azza wa Jal and fell into it. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. You think zina, it's only the act itself? يَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ والحديث عند الإمام البخاري ومسلم العينان تزنيان. The two eyes commit zina. وزناهما النظر. والأذنان يزنيان. The two ears commit zina. And their zina is listening to what is prohibited. واليد تزني. The hand commits zina, its zina is touching. وَالرِّجْلُ تَزْنِي. Your feet commit zina, and their zina al-khuta, walking to the places of evil. It's a critical issue, my brothers and sisters. يَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ. The day of judgment shall not come حَتَّى يَقِلَّ الْعِلْمِ, until religious knowledge is little. وَيَكْثُرَ الْجَهْلِ, ignorance of the religion shall increase. Look around you. Look at the state of the Muslim Ummah and recognize the prophecies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَكْثُرُ الزِّنَا, fornication and adultery shall be found in plenty. وَشُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ, and the drinking of intoxicants. And the shaitan attracts to it. Be careful in how your daughters, your wives, your sisters, your aunts, your mothers dress. How they perfume themselves. Be careful of your eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Muslim man before the woman. In Surah An-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, tell the believing men first, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they are to lower guard their gaze. لَكَ النَّظْرَةُ الْأُولَى, as the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم says to Ali, you get the first look. You look and then you must turn away from the haram, from what you are not permitted to see. But if you return, and sometimes my brothers and sisters, you'll see brothers who try to act smart. They think they're real slick. There's the first look. I didn't blink. Real slick. You get the first look. And then you turn your eyes. But Allah knows that the Muslim man, men are created with this weakness. Men, a man will get charged and excited without hearing a single sound. Without touching. Just seeing it from far away. While the woman, she needs to hear the talk, the nice soft voice, enjoy a nice little conversation, building it up. But the man, and this is why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises the men to restrain their sight, look away. So Allah orders the men first to look away. But He knows that many will fall into sin. So then He says in the next ayah, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And in it are the ayat of al-hijab. Meaning that the asl is that men are not to look. And if men did not look, and if Allah knew, and if Allah willed that men would not look, He would not have ordered women to wear hijab. But He knows that men are weak, so al-hijab is fard. And many of my Muslim sisters, they'll think, what is hijab? What is how you wear have anything to do with shaitan? يقول جل وعلا في سورة الأعراف يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان. O children of Adam, don't let shaitan trick you as he tricked your parents. كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة. He tricked your parents and caused them to be kicked out of الجنة. What did he do? ينزع عنهما لباسهما. He removed their garments. ليريهما سوآتهما. And exposed to them their privates. Why? إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He and his people and his dominion see you from a place you do not see them. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Surely we made the shayateen as protectors, as friends, as helpers of those who have no iman. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Iman. Critical issue, my Muslim sister. Shaitan will attack you in many ways. Drugs. You're going to say we're Muslims. We don't drink. We don't take drugs. I guarantee you that the same number of Muslims in this masjid, there is an exactly equal or more amount of Muslims out. Muslims. Muslims. Out in the Australian country who are addicted to drugs. More than the number of Muslims here. Much more. Addicted to heroin and crack and cocaine. And it's caught on. It's because of weakness the shaitan holds them. My Muslim brothers and sisters, awake from the things that are around you. Don't close your eyes and say, we're Muslims, it doesn't happen, because it happens. And it happens plenty. And your imam and the imams will tell you it happens plenty, even if they hide it from you, because they feel that if you know, it may cause you to feel sadness. But from my understanding, it's important to know the dangers that are out there by the things that have happened to other Muslims. This is why I narrated to you the story of this Muslim sister and others like it. Be careful. The shaytan lakum adu. Allah tells you, the shaytan is an enemy to you. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. Don't just recognize he's your enemy, but plan against him. Know he's your enemy, so deal with him as an enemy. How do you protect yourself from the shaitan? القرآن كتاب الله. Especially, number one, the last three surahs in the Quran. قل هو الله أحد. قل أعوذ برب الفلق. قل أعوذ برب الناس. Read them before you sleep. سورة الفاتحة. All of Islam is in سورة الفاتحة. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن القيم رحمه الله سر الإسلام في القرآن. The essence of all Islam, everything Islam, can be summarized in the Quran. وسر القرآن في الفاتحة. The essence of all of what is in the Quran can be found in this one surah, the first chapter of the Quran, الفاتحة. وسر الفاتحة, all of the essence of الفاتحة, meaning the essence of Islam, the Quran and the فاتحة, in Allah's statement, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Only you, Allah, do we worship. And only you, O Allah, do we seek help in. Read the three قل. هو الله أحد. قل أعوذ برب الفلق. قل أعوذ برب الناس. Read الفاتحة 7 times before you sleep. And blow in your hands. And wipe with your hands the parts of your body that are not covered by clothing. As is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Recite Ayatul Kursi before you sleep, after every salah, when you wake up, for it is protection. Make al-isti'adha. Ask Allah to protect you. Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'een. Only you, Allah, do we worship, and only you, Allah, do we seek help in. Seek Allah's help. فَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِدْ بِاللَّهِ. If the shaitan, you feel he has come to attack you, what do? Ask Allah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. As the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua. Know that the shaitan, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches, cannot enter a home or a room unless he's invited. He's going to knock at your door and you're the one who's going to let him in. You want to know how the shaitan comes in with you? When you enter your home and you don't say Bismillah. The shaitan says, you have a place to stay tonight. And when you come to eat and you don't say Bismillah, the shaitan says you have food for tonight. When you bring something that's not halal into your home, the shaitan is with you in entering, even if you say Bismillah. كما يقول جمهور أهل العلم. You can't be carrying something haram and enter your home and say Bismillah and you have haram everywhere. مأكله ومشربه وملبسه حرام. And he says, I read قل هو الله أحد. And there is a hadith where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, why is the person's dua not answered? He says, he eats haram, he drinks haram, he dresses haram. أنا يستجاب له. How do you expect Allah will answer him? So don't allow the shaitan to knock at your door and you open it for him. Also, read the three qul, read ayat al-kursi, read al-fatiha 7 times on your children. Make al-ruqya shar'iyya. Don't invent things. Do what is there to protect you. We know ayat al-kursi. We know al-fatiha. We know the three qul. All of us know it. Teach it to your children. Tell them, before you sleep, read these three surahs. Read surah al-fatiha and read ayat al-kursi. Also, to protect yourself from the shaitan is to always be in wudu'. when you break your wudu, try as best as you can to make wudu. Do you know that some of the salaf, some of the sahaba and the tabi'een, that when they broke their wudu and they didn't have water, they would make tayammum. They would ensure that they're in a state of purity. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in the hadith is in Bukhari that he heard the footsteps of Bilal in the Jannah in his dream. Bilal. And this is an important issue to recognize the importance of all of the Sahaba. Bilal was a black man. It made no difference if he was Arabic, Egyptian, Turkish, Greek. He was a black man, but he was Muslim. Do you know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in Surah Al-Hujurat? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best of you in the sight of Allah is the one who fears Allah the most. On the day of Fath, when the Muslim nation and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Mecca, he ordered Bilal, مؤذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا Bilal, climb to the top of the Kaaba and make al-adhan. And one of the mushrikeen, Arabi al-lisan, Arabic in tongue and in lineage, قال قولته الخبيثة, أما وجد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم غير هذا الغراب الأسود. Did not Muhammad find something better than a black crow to make adhan? فأنزل الله جل وعلا, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ, the one who's most honored, most loved by Allah, أَتْقَاكُمْ, is the one who fears Him. So therefore the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم heard the footsteps of Bilal in the Jannah. And he came to Bilal and he says, Ya Bilal, what do you do that I hear your footsteps in Jannah? صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال رضي الله عنه, whenever I break wudu, I make wudu and I pray 2 rak'at. This in turn gave him the ability to be recognized from the people of Jannah. Simple things. Al-wudu. Also to protect yourself, live Islam. Be a Muslim. Eat halal. Drink halal, do halal, stay away from... Many of you are going to say, what does live Islam mean? I'm telling you, it means, as a Muslim man, that you do everything in your power only for Allah. You're a good husband, who's kind, who goes home after work, who enjoys the meals with his family, who listens to his wife, who talks with her, who's nice with his children, who's not abusive, who's loving, who's tender, who makes time for his family, not because they're your family, not because it's your wife, not because they're your children, but because Allah al-Raqib is watching how you deal with them, وَيُحَاسِبَكْ, and He shall take account of you. The Muslim woman obeys her husband, bends over backwards to do everything to please him for Allah, deals with the children nicely, teaches them, educates them, learns so that she will teach her children, does everything that she can with love, with honesty, with respect, with admiration, with humility, with humbleness for her husband, not because he's been working 12-hour shifts, or because he brings home the bacon, as the Americans would say. Not because he spends on the children, or you enjoy your company with him when you are alone, but because Allah shall judge you in how well you fulfill your duties. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا صلت المرأة خمسها وصامت شهرها وأطاعت زوجها وحصنت فرجها قيل لها ادخل الجنة من أي أبوابها شئت. الله أكبر. If the Muslim woman only prayed 5 times a day, fasted the month of Ramadan when she had the ability, obeyed her husband in halal, in what is good, protected her chastity and her honor, on the day of judgment, Allah shall say to her, "You choose which gate you want to enter paradise from." Allahu Akbar. Live Islam as a Muslim student, young or old. You study the best you can. You obey your parents. You do what you can. You teach those around you. You seek to get the highest marks in your class. Not because you want to be praised. Not because you want to graduate out of university and make a truckload of money. But you want to use your skills and your intelligence for Allah, to benefit the Muslim Ummah. And therefore Allah gives you barakah in your time, in your energy, in your ability to learn, in all faculties of life. Live Islam to protect yourself from ash-shaytan. Also to protect yourself, have good Muslim friends. If your best friend is evil, is corrupt, is non-Muslim, or is a Muslim who doesn't pray, who doesn't fast, who doesn't care about La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, guess what? Al-mar'u ala deen khalilih. A person is on the way of life of his best friend. These are the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدَكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Let each of you be careful in who his friend is. If your friend is with the shaitan, sooner or later, he's gonna fish you. They fish. They put their reel out, and they wait. And once they hook, they don't let go. If that hook sinks in you, if one shred of doubt attaches itself to you, you're in deep trouble. How do you protect yourself? Don't stand near the fisherman. Stand far away where when he throws his staff, the hook won't even come near you. Distance yourself from the people of ahwa, of desires, of drugs, of parties, of clubs. Be far away from them. How do you protect yourself from the shaitan? One of the greatest ways to ensure that you are safe and far from the clasp of the shaitan is that you correct your iman and your tawheed. Know Allah. Learn about Allah. Al-ma'rifa billah. Learn about Allah. And when you do so, you will know who your enemy is. الشَّيْءُ يُعْرَفُ بِضِدِّهِ. In Islam we have this famous principle in usul. Something is known by what it is opposite to. You want to know the opposition of Allah, the shaitan? Know Allah. And everything about the shaitan will be clear, as Umar radiallahu anhu was gifted with. When he would walk, as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and the shaitan would be coming on the same road, the shaitan would move to another road because Umar radiallahu anhu was on it. Have iman and conviction in Allah. I leave you. And this is our final discussion with you here in our short visit. With one final piece of advice. One final thing. If there is nothing else that you have learned today or yesterday, know one thing. That if you have thabat, if you are patient, because you're going to be tested. Allah's not going to just make it a rosy path. You're not going to disavow yourself and push the shaitan away and think it's going to be easy. Luqman, what does he say to his son? Ya bunay, aqim as-salah, pray. That's good. And give the sadaqah, zakah. Good. Wa'mur bil ma'roof, tell people to do good, enjoin good. Wanha anil munkar, tell people to stay away from evil. Wasbir ala ma asabak, be patient for what will befall you. You're not going to do all good and find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not test you. Am hasibtum an tadkhulul jannah? Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, do you think you're just going to go to Jannah like this? وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah will not make it known, those of you who did their jihad in this worldly life, resisted the evils of the shaitan, pushed him away, strived in the path of Allah with their tongue, with their hands, with their body, with their mind, with their intellect, and not make it known those who were patient. You have to be patient. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. We tested those who came before you, and Allah made it known those who were true believers. وَيَعْلَمَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, and Allah made it known those who were hypocrites and liars. Be patient. It's not going to be a rosy road. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tests. Sometimes you'll be poor. Sometimes you'll be rich. Don't think by being rich it's nice. Wallahi, having wealth and having everything you want is harder than Allah to take it from you. يقول العلماء الابتلاء بالنعيم أقصى وأشد من الابتلاء بالضيق والفقر. To be tested with ease and goodness is harder than to be tested by being put in harshness and it being taken away from you. Goodness taken away from you. Don't have ghafla, don't forget about Allah. Allah says in Surah Al-An'am, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا, when they forgot, مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, what they were reminded of, we are reminding you today. When they forgot their reminder, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, we opened to them the gates of all goodness. All good. They had everything they wanted when they forgot the reminder. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا, until they're happy. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَى, we took them suddenly. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الْعَبْدَ مَا يُحِبُّ وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةٍ فَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّهُ اسْتِدْرَاجٌ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. If you see Allah giving His servant everything He wants, and at the same time you see this person is committing sins, he doesn't pray, she doesn't wear hijab, she doesn't pray, know that Allah is slowly bringing him to punishment. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلَ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah is not unaware of what oppressors do. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ, He lets them have time. Time to increase in evil or time to repent. Let us be people of أهل التوبة. Let us be people of repentance. If all that you gained is to know that you are to be patient, this is enough. Be patient. Persevere in hardship. It's tough to raise your children on Islam. It's tough to convince your parents who are not practicing Muslims to come to Islam. It works both ways. Be patient. Be lenient. Be easy. Be constant. And be from Ahlul Tawbah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who constantly turn to Allah in repentance. And to make us from those who have their deeds and their actions and their words accepted by Him because of their ikhlas and because of their sunnah. the following of the sunnah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who truly love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love that he is deserving of, and to make us from those who truly fear Allah, the fear that he is most deserving of us. These are the words I leave you with. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. We still are using the same ground rules that we discussed with you yesterday. La adri is still in full effect. That's my discretion. When I don't know, I will say I don't know. Allahu a'lam, la adri. We begin by saying the first question. And these are in actually no particular order, I just arranged them in size. The shorter is at the top, the longer at the bottom. Okay. How do you know if a trick is from shaitan, or it is your nafs or hawa or desires or your own intentions? That's a very important question, pertinent and relevant to our topic. The shaitan sometimes disguises himself. You may not know it's the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there are shayateen al-ins wa shayateen al-jinn. Don't think shaitan it's something that you're going to hear in your head or it's something that's only going to make waswasa. Shayateen al-ins could be your best friend at times, who may not be Muslim or who may be Muslim and not doing right. He could be your shaitan. He could be the person who's influencing you to evil. Meeting someone in the street who is going to attract your sight or going to attract you in talk, giving you something that's not halal, giving you a flyer to a dance club. Come, admission is free. All of these are things that will meet you, attracting you to other than the path of Allah. How do you know if what you are doing, as we know, a nafs, a person, it has three levels. A nafsul mutma'inna, where a person is content with Allah, and therefore Allah is content and pleased with him. And this is the nafs of the true believer. The second, an-nafsul lawwama. The person, and this is where the majority of Ahlul Islam are. They do good deeds, but they do evil deeds. And they make lawm upon themselves. They say, why am I not doing more good? Why am I doing so much evil? The third type, النفس الأمارة بالسوء. إن النفس الأمارة بالسوء إلا من رحم ربي. In Surah Yusuf, we see that Allah describes that there is a nafs that you, your own self, no other influence except your own evilness and wickedness, causes you and wants you and forces you to do evil. How do you differentiate from the shaitan, or it's your own evil, corrupt self? Look at your deeds. Take a critical account of yourself. If it's you who's desiring the evil, when you're alone, when there's nothing, no one around you, are you the one who's constantly thinking of evil? Or is it something that is inspired to you when you see it, after you see it? If you are the one who's initiating, it's your own nafs. You're the one that's going after the sin. The next question. Please, brother, explain how many devils are there, and is there one devil, or is there one devil that controls everyone, or different shayateen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created umam, many different nations, many different types, animals, jinn, and ins. Jinn are a truth, are a reality, they exist. They're not bacteria. Some people, they say, jinn are bacteria. They try to use their so-called scientific reasoning. They say, we can use our brains in Islam. Jinn is bacteria. Well, you say to them, forget 500. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, bacteria still hadn't been discovered. 200, 300 years ago. No one knew. of all of these things that now you are saying this is jinn with such certainty? How can you say something of this nature? Jinn are a truth, are a reality described by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are physical beings created from fire, like how we're created from dust. That doesn't mean that if they touch something, it's going to go on fire. No. You're created from dust. Do you have dust in you? No. Your beginning stage was from dust. The beginning stage of the jinn was from fire. Doesn't mean that they're hot or they're sizzling at present. Some of the jinn are Muslim. The majority are non-Muslim. The jinn marry, have children, produce, live, eat, and drink. As has been described in the many ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I refer you, because it is short time, to the books written by Abu Amina, Dr. Abu Amina, Bilal Phillips, The Exorcist Tradition. That is a beautiful book on this topic of jinn and things of this nature. It was his PhD study. This is why he was given a PhD in Islam. So it's a beautiful book, well-researched, well-referenced. Return to it, inshaAllah ta'ala. The jinn, for every human being, they're his own individual qareen. As you have a jinn or a devil who is influencing you to evil, you also have an angel influencing you to do good. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When a person comes to his bed, إذا كان آخر كلامه, if the last words he says include the ذكر of Allah, غلب, his angel defeats the jinn and forces him out of the room. وَإِذَا كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامَهُ, if the end of your words or the last thing you say before you sleep is other than لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, other than the ذكر of Allah, you go to sleep in a state of heedlessness, forgetting Ayatul Kursi, the three قل, Bismillah, Surah Al-Fatiha, the jinn forces the angel out. And he is the one who stays with you. So therefore, with every human being, there is two. An angel and a jinn. If you're a good person, your angel overpowers the jinn. But if you're an evil person, the jinn overpowers the angel. You can return this into the book written by a doctor, Sheikh Umar Sulaiman al-Ashqar. It's translated. Beautiful book. Return to it. The worlds of the angels. And you will find all of this discussed insha'Allah ta'ala. Are we allowed to obtain illicit money from a kafir country? Illicit money, to me, I think it means in a non-proper way. Illicit. Meaning stealing or something. This is the way I'm understanding it. For the use of propagating Islam and for war-torn Muslim countries or for the purpose of jihad. مَا نَبَتَ مِنَ السُّحْتِ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. What is derived from evil, the fire is most worthy of it. You can't go rob a bank and come and say, here is a fifth of it for Allah wa Rasulih, and keep four-fifths for yourself. هذا استهزاء بالدين. This is making a mockery of religion. مَا نَبِتَ مِنَ السُّحْتِ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have done many things, but he only did what was halal, what was tayyib. مَنْ غَشَّى فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Not مَنْ غَشَّنَا. مَنْ غَشَّى, the one who cheats, no matter who he cheats, he is not from amongst us, not from our people. So don't cheat a disbeliever or a non-Muslim or anyone who you may interact with. Be a Muslim, show Islam. It is better to spend $1 of halal than to spend $1 million of haram. بِشِقِّ تَمْرَة. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells you, half of a date, give it in sadaqah. Give even what is little. Wallahi, I constantly tell my brothers, If you're going to give sadaqah and it's for riya, or you're giving it out of interest. I once had a question in the United States. Look at how people try to play with Allah. He comes to me and it's tax season in April. He comes and he says, can I take my tax money, the money that I'm going to pay to the government as taxes, can I use that money, pay it from my zakah money that I have? Meaning I have money that I've saved for a year, and I have zakah that I should be paying $1,000, for example. Can I take these $1,000 that are intended, as Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal, لِلْفُقَرَاء, for the poor, for those who are traveling and have no means, for those who are deserving it, can I take this money and pay it to the government to pay my taxes? Subhanallah. Don't play with Allah. Do what is right. Stay away from what is evil. By having strong iman, shaitan will stay away from us. How do we get strong iman? This was the lecture that I gave in Canberra before I arrived here on Saturday. I was there Friday. I gave a long talk, as I gave, alhamdulillah, a talk with you, titled, Tajdeedul Iman. How to recharge iman. Al-iman yazeedu bit-ta'ah, increases with good, wa yanqusu bil-ma'asiyah, decreases with evil. The more good you do for Ramadan, in Ramadan you see many brothers, very energetic, they stand up for Taraweeh, they'll come back for Tahajjud in the last 10 days, mashaAllah, reading the Qur'an, going to school at the same time, يَزِيدُ الْإِيمَانِ بِالطَّاعَةِ. And then you hit Eid, and you can pray Salatul Janazah in the masjid, and wait for the people to come next Ramadan. خلاص. This is not Islam. In iman increases with good deeds, decreases with evil deeds. So do as many of the good deeds that you can, limit the evil deeds, and your iman shall increase. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبِ فَسَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Iman becomes worn out, tattered, torn, tarnished, as your clothing or garments become worn out, torn, tarnished. So make dua, ask Allah to rejuvenate and recharge your iman in your hearts. Allahumma ameen. What environment will save us from the shaitan? And how can we make Muslim ummah love the masjid? Please give the virtues. It makes no difference which country you live in. I'm here with you in Australia. I left my family and a great Muslim population in Toronto. They worship Allah, you worship Allah. Opposite ends of the world. We visited your brothers in Alaska, the most northern tip of inhabited land in North America, where sometimes the sun will not appear for 6 months. They have to calculate when Salatul Asr by watches. When is Salatul Dhuhr? By watches. From Salatul Dhuhr to Salatul Asr, 3.5-4 hours or so, they will pray. Although it's dark. Subhanallah. Makes no difference. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, اتق الله حيثما كنت. Fear Allah wherever you may be. In the masjid, or while you're hustling on the streets. When you're in school, or when you're at home. When you're at work, I hate it. Wallahi, I hate to see Muslim men standing around the water cooler with Jill and Sally. Good day, mate. And they have these nice talks, and they talk with one another. How's everything going? Did you have a good weekend? What did you do? MashaAllah. And then you come to the masjid. Allahu Akbar. The sister walks and he's timid, as if he's afraid. Better stay away. Naam. We have humility, we have humbleness, but everywhere we are, makes no difference if you're at work or you're in the masjid. If someone sees you or if you're alone, fear Allah wherever you may be. How many prophets do we have? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hadith, it is sahih, although some of the scholars have shown in the past that it was weak. The hadith in itself, due to the shawahid, due to the multitude of chains, the hadith is sahih. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there were 144,000 prophets sent all together. As for the number of messengers, Allahu a'lam. So this is how many prophets we had. And at times more than one prophet would be sent to one nation. So you would have Zakariya, Yahya and Isa together. You would have Musa and Harun together. Dawood and Sulaiman together. But Ummat al-Islam, because we are an Ummah of Khair, we're not like the Jews. The Jews, they would always change their whims and desires. كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ فَرِقًا كَذَّبُ وَفَرِقًا يَقْتُلُونَ. Some would even murder their prophets and their messengers. But Ummat al-Islam, Allah chose us as the best of nations. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You are the best of nations. Why? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ خَيْرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أُرْسِلَ لِخَيْرِ الْقُرُونِ. Send to the best of people, generations, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een after them, and the Tabi'at Tabi'een. كَمَا يَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And therefore his legacy transferred to us, and until the day of judgment. Is it all right to trade in the share markets? I would think stock markets. This is a question that I cannot answer in the 5 or 10 minutes without diagrams and explaining to you what's proper, what isn't. I refer you to an important internet site. The Dow Jones, all of you know the Dow Jones, it's a type of stock market. They have a university that is online, on the internet. There is an Islamic course that is offered, held by 4 of the top professors who teach Islamic finance, showing you what is halal, what isn't, what is riba, what isn't, what is interest, what isn't. All of these things are explained. The site is www.islamic.djuh.com. Return to the site. They will, before you enter it, they will give you a test to see how well you know Islamic law yourself in regards to finance. If you fail it, enroll. So you will find the answer there, inshallah. When I read the Quran or I am praying, I get thoughts of bad thoughts and think to myself, is this the real religion? And how do I know that this is the truth? What should I do? Know, my Muslim brother or my Muslim sister, that Islam is the truth without doubt. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Muhammad ﷺ was ordered, be sure and know and verify and understand and learn that there truly is no God worthy of any worship except Allah. I warn you, don't try to find the truth of Islam by comparing it to other falsely attributed religions to blessed prophets. Christianity holds the name of Isa, Christ, Al-Masih. Isa alayhi salam is far from where they are. You and I are closer to Isa than they are. He came with Islam. He came with Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. And when he shall descend, he shall live according to the laws of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So know what you have is the truth. And if you wish to compare to Christianity, listen to the words of Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim. أَعُبَّادَ الْمَسِيحِ لَنَا سُؤَالٌ. To those who ascribe the religion of Christianity as their religion, we have a question. نريد جوابه ممن وعاه. Give us an answer, all you who thinks they know or have intellect or understand. إذا مات الإله بصنع قوم أماتوه فهل هذا إله؟ If a god is to die at the hands of his people, can he be a god? وَيَا عَجَبًا لِقَبْرٍ ضَمَّ رَبًّا وَأَعْجَبُ مِنْهُ بَطْنٌ قَدْ حَوَاهُ. Strange indeed is to see some people will say that God, they say this, God was entombed for 3 days, they say, and then he woke up and he walked around and he flew or something. They say that he was entombed after dying. Shaykh al-Islam al-Muqayyim says, but stranger than him being dead and entombed is that they claim he was in the stomach of a woman living in it. مَكَثَ هُنَاكَ تِسْعًا مِنْ شُهُورٍ. They say he lived in the womb of a woman for 9 months. يَأْكُلُ أَشْرَبُ وَمِنْ حَيْضٍ غَذَاهُ. Eating, drinking, and getting nourishment from her blood. أَهَذَا إِلَهُ. Is this the God you worship? تعالى الله عن إفك النصارى. Most high is Allah over the lies and the disbelief of those who ascribe themselves to Christianity. Islam is the truth, know it. How do you increase your faith? Be around Muslims. Come to the masjid. Learn about Islam. Islam is a religion that is simple, that is logical, that is the truth because it is the truth. It's not the truth because I say, or another imam says. It's the truth because it is the truth. And you will recognize it, and you will see it. Whether you're a scientist, or a writer, or a poet, Islam is the truth for all humanity. Brother Yahya, how could a woman reach the level of niqab and on the other side she could be almost every day in the shopping centers or outside her home? That's a good question. You will see many Muslim sisters who are covered in niqab, covering their face, but many or the majority or some of the times that they are outside their home, they are in the shopping centers or doing things that they may not need to be doing. The scholars of Al-Islam say, خَيْرُ النِّقَابِ الْبَيْتِ. The best niqab, if you're going to wear niqab and you've decided to veil yourself, even your face, then remain home. Unless there's a reason for you to go. Although you may go out with your husband for enjoyment and things of this, we do not restrict and come to the masjid and come to the classes. These are things that are preferred. But don't let yourself be tricked into thinking because you've covered, you can now go out and you're free to do whatever you want because no one can see you. Be modest and have iman. Please, could you tell us what happens to babies who die in Islam and what their condition is in heaven? In Islam, we know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, he states, the people who will not get the message of al-Islam, the risala, did not reach them, there's some people who've never heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who were living at his time or after his time. They never met him. It was never carried to them. So how will they be judged? They and the babies who die at young age will have the same test. On the day of judgment, they will be brought together and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall try them, shall give them a trial. And it is described that there will be a wall of fire. And it will be sent to them a messenger who will tell them, walk to the fire and enter Jannah. Those who enter, accept the belief, shall enter Jannah. Those who refuse, shall be from the people of the fire. And Allah does not oppress. لا ظلم اليوم. Brother, I drive a bus and all I see all day are women. How do I stop looking at them? Wallahi, this is a very honest question.
Is it a brother or a sister who's asking
the It's a brother who's asking the question, I hope. This is a good, honest question. It's an honest question. How do you preserve your chastity? Because this is part of chastity. Don't tarnish yourself. Don't tarnish your iman by getting small, insignificant pleasures. Don't lose a large share in the akhirah for small worldly pleasures. Remind yourself of Allah. Learn of why you are not allowed to do this. Would you want someone to look at your daughter in that way? A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. والحديث عند الإمام أحمد في المسند وهو صحيح. And he came in the masjid of Nabi Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وقال وهو شاب, young man. يا رسول الله, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذن لي بالزنا. Sanction for me, make it halal for me to commit fornication. The Sahaba, Umar, Abu Bakr, they ran to the man. How can you defame Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How could you tarnish his blessed masjid, Rawda, min Riyad al-Jannah? He told them, leave him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come with me. And he took him to a corner. وَأَجْلَسَهُ, made him sit and sat in front of him. وَقَالْ أَتَرْضَاهُ لِأُمِّكَ. Would you wish someone does this deed of fornication, of zina, with your mother? فَقَالَ لَا, never. أَتَرْضَاهُ لِأُخْتِكَ. Would you want someone to do it with your sister? قَالَ لَا. تَرْضَاهُ لِبِنْتِكَ, your daughter. لَا. لِعَمَّتِكَ, لِخَالَتِكَ, your aunt. No. فَكَيْفَ تَرْضَاهُ لِنَفْسِكَ. صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if you can't wish it for any of these women who are dear to you, how can you wish it for your own self? And then the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم put his blessed hand on the chest of this young man and made dua. اللهم طهر قلبه. O Allah, cleanse his heart. وَحْسِنْ فَرْجَهُ, allow him the ability to protect his chastity and private parts. وَغْفِرْ ذَنْبَهُ, and forgive his sin. Meaning, just intending to do it. Just by looking and intending and thinking, he sinned. وَغْفِرْ ذَنْبَهُ, forgive his sin. So this is an important issue, inshaAllah. At university, I often find myself working in groups with females. Would this increase the potential for shaitan to guide us to do wrong? Yes. Of course. Sometimes you have to be businesslike. Yes, I had to work in lab groups and there were women. It doesn't mean I can't work. I can't be a functional person in society. I can't be a student. I work, but I'm business-like. How did you do on the test? Fine. Can I see? Yes. Can we go out to a cup of coffee and review? No. Business-like. And this is called al-waqar. Being put high in front of other people. Do you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is described as being the most handsome human being created. All of you are going to say, well, we hear that Yusuf, the Prophet of Allah, Yusuf, he was the most beautiful, most handsome man before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yusuf, who women cut their hands because they were distracted by his beauty, as is found in Surah Yusuf, was half شطر half of the حسن of محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. والحديث عند الإمام ابن ماجه وهو صحيح. But the Sahaba say that the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, although he was so handsome, he had الهيبة والوقار. That people were so in awe of him, although he was so physically attractive and so eloquent and pious and had all of the characteristics, because people were so in awe of him and held him in such high esteem, they would never think of falling into error with him, because they respected him. Have respect with your co-workers. Allow them to respect you for who you are. Don't try to assimilate. I'm not telling you don't dress in nice clothing, don't have a nice pair of slacks and wear a nice shirt. I'm not telling you you have to go wearing this to school. I don't. I don't go to work dressed like this. Don't get this image. You can be a Muslim man, functional, but be Muslim. Be straightforward. Be businesslike. When it comes to things that are needed to be answered and done, fulfill them. To the best of your iman. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul more than it can withstand. So be on the true, straight, middle course. But be businesslike. Is it wrong to think women in the group will be beneficial because they think differently because of the perception? I think the brother is narrating the example that we gave, that the women, they like to be talked to and things of this nature. Yes, it's wrong to think that. Because sometimes you can never understand or even comprehend what the person you're talking to thinks of you. A person, two different examples. A person can come and smile in your face, and once you turn away, he'll stab you in the back. Equally, a person can come and be so upset with you out of loving you, that when you turn away, he'll make dua for you. May Allah forgive him if he has erred. Don't let the appearances disguise you. Don't let the appearances disguise you. Is my prayer accepted if someone I don't trust is leading me? The person who asks a question like this is entering into bid'ah. Don't question the person who leads you. If you enter a masjid and there's someone leading, makes no difference who he is. صلي وراء المبتدع وعليه بدعته. Pray behind the مبتدع, the person of bid'ah, the person who does the innovation, and his innovation is left with him. كما يقول الإمام الزهري وهو مروي في صحيح البخاري. Under the chapter, praying behind innovators. And this is why الإمام ابن حجر العسقلاني says, فقه البخاري في تراجمه. الإمام البخاري showed his intelligence in how he labeled and wrote the names of the chapters, the abwab. Praying behind the innovator, his innovation is with him. Don't question the imams, especially in Jumu'ah and Eid. I have a best friend who, after getting employed in the city, see, I think any place near Sydney is part of Sydney. The city to you, to people in Australia, means the downtown. So the question says, I have a best friend who, after getting employed in the downtown and lived the high life, in quotes, he started moving away from his Islamic duties to an extent that he really doesn't care anymore whatsoever, and is beginning to drink. Told you. Didn't I tell you? Don't think because we're Muslim and we're in the masjid, people aren't doing it. People do it. And he's beginning to drink and go out to forbidden places, etc. You know what that means. Influenced by his workmates. You know what that means. Jill and Sally. Should I move away from him or stick to him and advise him? And will he affect me? By asking this question, you are answering it. If the influence you have over him is greater than the influence he has over you, stick with him. But once you notice that the conversation is being led and the ball is always on your side of the court, all the hujum is on you, you are the one who's on the defensive, and he's enjoying himself and he's acting like he doesn't care, then he is no good for you. But give him a call every so often to check up on him. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him. You disassociate, but call someone else to keep a link with him and check on him, who doesn't have this emotional attachment that you have. So don't forsake him and leave him. Get someone else to check up on him who doesn't have the same emotional attachment. You said that forgetting is from the shaitan. Then does that mean, or that does that make forgetting a sin? An-nisyan is not a sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to forget. And this is part of human nature. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he led salah and he forgot a certain ayah. And he turned to Ubay ibn Ka'b and he told him, why didn't you help me with it? Why didn't you remind me of it? So Ubay ibn Ka'b, knowing that the Qur'an was sent to Muhammad ﷺ, said, I refrained just in case maybe it had changed. I didn't want to encroach upon your sanctity, Ya Rasulullah. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to him, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ I am only human. أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَ I forget as you forget. Meaning, if it happens again, remind me. So therefore, it is not a sin. Assalamu alaikum. One of the greatest difficulties and sources of doubt is not being sure, even after consulting with scholars and the Qur'an and the Sunnah, is not knowing if one is doing the right thing. This is extremely distressing to the person. How can this be resolved? In Islam, we must know that certainty is one of the most beautiful things that can be acquired. To be certain of your convictions and of your truths. This is most important in aqidah. You are certain that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship except Allah. You are certain that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to you. You are certain of salah, of zakah, all of these things you are certain. But at times, you may not be certain in how to apply or how to perform the salah. And this is why in Islam we have al-ikhtilaf. Disagreement that is permissible. There are two types of disagreeing. Disagreeing in usul, وَهُوَ haram. To disagree in major things, to say for example, salah is 4 times a day instead of 5. Haram. You can't disagree. We're all unanimous. Second type is disagreeing in secondary principles. Do I put my hands here, or here, or here? As long as it's sunnah and it's narrated from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's all fine. Don't be closed-minded and say, it's only this way. When we know that in Islam we have many different positions and many different stances that are all permitted in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes even the Sahaba themselves disagreed. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he wrote Umar ibn al-Khattab a harsh letter when Umar was the Khalifa. He told him, أَتَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ Umar had promised to visit the city of where Abu Ubaidah was. But in that city, tuberculosis, as the brother was discussing with us previously about tuberculosis became prevalent in that city, a ta'un. So Umar, not becoming afraid, but becoming cautious, asked the shura, the sahaba, should I go or not? So Abu Ubaidah wrote him, are you fleeing from the order of Allah? So what if you come and die, Umar? Radiallahu anhu. That's what Abu Ubaidah was saying. So Abdul Rahman ibn Awf came and said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول And the hadith, you and I, we say it's in Bukhari. But this hadith, Abu Ubaidah and Umar had not known it. We can open Bukhari and find it now. He says, if Ta'un, if the plague is in a city and you are not in it, don't enter. And if you are in that city, don't leave it until the Ta'un leaves. So there's disagreement because of lack of knowing. There's also disagreement due to an-nasikh wal-mansukh. Certain rules and requirements in Islam are abrogated after others. A hadith, for example, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's in Bukhari, said, Kuntu, beforehand, I had forbidden you to go and visit the graves. Totally. Men and women. Al-an, he says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Fazuruha. Go and visit the graves and make dua for your brothers and sisters who have passed away. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ Because it allows you to remember that you are dying soon and you will go to Allah. So don't be closed-minded. There may be more than one position. Due to a lack of knowledge the person doesn't know, or due to something being abrogated and he didn't know, or due to an interpretation that is valid in both stances. لا يصلين أحدكم العصر إلا في بني قريظة. Some prayed, some didn't pray Asr before reaching that city of Bani Khuraydah. Both were correct. Brother, my question is about photos and pictures as clothing and video cameras. Are they allowed in Islam? Obviously, you could see there are 3 or 4 video cameras. So the stance I take is they are permitted in Islam. And such was the stance of some of the greatest scholars of our contemporary times. Many of us have seen a Shaykh ibn Baz on television, a Shaykh ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen on television, Abu Ishaq al-Hawaini on television. All of them have been interviewed. This is something that they deem permitted. As for taking pictures that are going to be hung up on the walls and that are going to be made into something that people are going to take as something that must be honored and we must stand up and things of this nature, we say this is not permitted. Because this tarnishes from the spirit of Al-Islam that even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that there were no artists who could have captured his image? There were artists at the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we know this? We know this because when he entered Al-Kaaba on the day of Fath, as is narrated in the Sahih Hadith, he made sure that they cleaned the walls of the Kaaba of the images of Ibrahim that the mushrikeen had drew. So therefore be careful. What is the work? Oh, there's more questions. What is the work or the way to save the Muslim Ummah today? It seems like a tough question to answer, but you know it's quite simple. As-Sunnah, 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 as-Sunnah. Turn to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take his example. Learn everything from him. His politics, his economics, his halal, his haram, his salah, his siyam, his hajj. What he sanctioned, what he approved of, what he disapproved of. How he dealt with people, his akhlaq, his manners of teaching, his tasfiyah, how he cleansed things, his tarbiyah, how he taught things. Take it all from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And wallahi, if you do so, you will see the ummah in a state of health as it was at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I work in a pub. I've been cleaning it for 10 years. Every time I am there, I am always thinking of Allah. Is it wrong or right? My brothers and sisters, the money you earn and that supports you and your families must be halal. This brother is asking an important question. Is the job that I'm doing cleaning a pub, halal or haram? We say that if he does not have to carry the cases of alcohol, if he does not have to serve the alcohol, if he does not have to remove the alcohol, if all he's doing is vacuuming the carpets, washing the tables, arranging the cups after they've been washed and cleansed, and he has no contact with the alcohol, his job would be considered halal. Why? Listen. If you're a taxi driver, and this is the example that many of the ulama give. If you're a taxi driver, and someone calls the central office and says, come pick me up at this bar. You're a taxi driver. Your job is to transport people. Sah? That's your job. You go to the bar to pick him up and you see he has a keg of beer. And he says, could you please open the trunk? I want you to take me and this keg of beer to a party. You are to allow him and you are to transport him. Your job as that taxi driver isn't to carry the alcohol. Your job is to carry that individual. Whatever he's transporting, that's his transportation, although it may be in the vicinity of your vehicle. So your money is halal in such an instance. But if you're a taxi driver, and your job involves beer runs, meaning someone's at a party and they're too lazy or too drunk to go to the bar himself to pick up his own alcohol, so they call a taxi and they say, go to the beer store and they're going to put the beer in your car, and you bring us the beer, you say, no, it's haram. See the line that you must establish? So therefore, for this brother, let him be sure not to have any contact with the alcohol or its people, even if the money that he is paid with is earned through people making it through this haram. His job is cleaning. His job is in serving. His job is in transporting the alcohol and so forth. What can a person do to escape to a better Islamic environment? Can you give us some examples? Can you give us some examples from your personal experience? An Islamic environment is yourself. أَقِيمُوا دَوْلَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ أَرْضِكُمْ. The scholars past have said, establish the land of Islam in your own hearts and in your own deeds and in your own actions first. While striving to establish it in your land, you will find that it will be there. You yourself must have Islam thriving and willing and working in you. Everything you do is for Allah. Your studies for Allah. Your money, you keep a share. A dollar a day for the masjid. Why is it that we see that the people of no good Islamic faith, like the Ismailis, you'll find Ismailis, the Ahmadiyya and the Ismailis, they'll give a fifth of everything they earn to their people. Fifth. So if he makes $100,000 a year, he gives a fifth of that no matter how large he makes or how small. But when you come and talk to Muslims about sadaqah, you see that they fall into three different stages. And this is described in the Qur'an. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or when a poor person would come and ask someone, Allah described the punishment of the one, يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ, that when they come on the day of judgment, their faces and their sides and then their backs shall be punished in the fire. Allah labels it in these three stages. You first come to a brother and you say, Ya Akhi, I'm in need. And he scrunches his face. First place of punishment. And then he turns away from you. So he'll be punished on his side for giving you that shoulder and walking away. He will be punished for turning his back. Look at the Qur'an. Recognize your deeds. Live Islam in all ways of life. Don't squint your face when you are asked for sadaqah, to benefit a Muslim or a people. Don't turn your back or your shoulder away from them. So do everything you can for al-Islam and for its people. You stated that a shaitan is with a person who enters his house with haram possessions even though he says Bismillah when he enters. What if the house itself is or was bought with interest? The shaitan never leaves. He's not going to have to enter, he's already there. And what if that person has asked for repentance? Alhamdulillah, if it was many years ago, is the shaitan in that home always? Ya ikhwan, once a person makes tawbah, and it's accepted by Allah, he stops committing the sin, regrets committing it, intends never to do it again, and makes amends, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah shall transfer their evil deeds into good deeds. Amen. And Allah is the most forgiving, most merciful. Khalid ibn al-Walid, رضي الله عنه وأرضاه, before he accepted Islam, he masterminded. He led the battle of Uhud for the mushrikeen. As a result of that, Hamza, Asadullah, was martyred. The uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this gave the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin great pain. But when Khalid came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepted Islam, all was forgiven. And therefore the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how strange it is that two people fight one another and are killed and they both enter Jannah. They said, how is this? We know the one who's killed, he'll enter Jannah if he was Muslim. So how is the one doing the killing? The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he will repent and become Muslim after. Allahu Akbar. Your evil deeds become good. So therefore for this Muslim brother or sister who found himself in this situation, remove yourself from the evil, cleanse yourself, purify yourself, do the best you can, ask Allah for forgiveness and Allah will forgive you. For those who have not entered it, don't say, I will repent later and I'll get double the reward, it's like I've done good. Don't play with Allah because you don't know how long you're going to live. فَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. If you have children, Allah tells you in Surah An-Nisa, those of you, and people constantly ask, how do you raise good Muslim children? Allah tells you, simple. Those who fear that they have children who will be in a state of evilness after they die, let them fear Allah while they're living. Fear Allah while you're living and your children, after you pass away, they're going to inherit it because Allah will bless them. And this question is relevant to the one we were discussing about the taxi driver and the alcohol. Does a pilot also can be the same as a taxi driver... even though the cabin crew serves alcohol on board? What happens also if a cabin crew is a Muslim? Should you encourage a wife who is in cabin crew to stop that work? Yes. Encourage your wife who is in cabin crew and serving the wine and the spirits and things of this, that she should stop because it's haram. As for the pilot, his job is transporting. The job of the stewardess or the cabin crew is to serve. So her job is haram. She's a waitress. Although she has other duties and safety requirements that she will teach others. Or find her a company that she can, that would be non-serving alcohol, or though it is preferred to leave this industry altogether, because you're constantly bumping into people, touching things that are not permitted. This job, it is not intended for the pious Muslim woman. Brother, please teach us verses from the Holy Quran to protect us from the evil of the shaitan and the bad jinns which try to deceive us and which try to give us nightmares and things of this nature. Of the things that the scholars have stated and that is found in the Sunnah and the actions of the Salaf, reading Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran and Surah Taha these three surahs, if you read any one of them, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, by reading any one of these three surahs and making dua, your dua will be accepted. Because in these three surahs is Ismullah al-A'zam. So you read one of these three surahs and make dua. That is one thing. Also reading Surah As-Saffati Saffa. In it is a protection from the evil of the jinn. Also reading Surah Al-Jinn, reading Surah Al-Mulk, reading Surah Al-Waqi'ah. These all have been narrated from the Sahaba as having extra effects against the shaitan. Especially Surah Al-Baqarah, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the house where Al-Baqarah is recited, the shaitan flees from it. Also be in the habit of making adhan in your home. Al-adhan in your home, it forces the shaitan away. Many people will say, well, I can't read the Qur'an very fluently, I can't read all of Al-Baqarah. Listen to it on a tape in your home. When we start praying, our mind drifts and we think of the dunya. How can we bring back our concentration? To bring back your concentration, know that you are standing and communicating and having, you're in a personal dialogue with Allah Jalla wa Ala. You are standing there in front of Him. And you are praising Him, asking Him for guidance. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have shown grace and mercy. Know the importance of Allah Jalla wa Ala and realize that it is the greatest duties that a Muslim does physically and spiritually after La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, and also turn to the book titled Al-Khushu'a, and it is translated. It discusses this issue in full. The food and drinks that we have sometimes have numbers which are haram. And we did not know what it was. I don't understand what it means they have numbers that are haram. Codes for... Oh, they're chemical... Ingredients. So it would be ingredients. Which are haram, and we did not know that it was. Now we know, alhamdulillah, and we have stopped. How can we prevent ourselves from these haram ingredients? Don't purchase these things. Inform other Muslims of them. I know there's something that is published. There's a book, I think it's called Al-Halal Wal-Haram. The foods that are halal and haram, ingredients that are halal and haram. These things you can use. Speaking as a person who is in tune with chemistry, sometimes certain ingredients, pig fat, things like this, it is used in a way that it changes its consistency, it changes its smell, its color, its look, all of the properties of it as being a fat or lard are changed. The scholars of Al-Islam tell us that once something that was of a nature of haram and has been changed to no longer represent the original thing, and if you try to bring it back to the original thing, you can't, it becomes halal. And it's called the qa'ida al-istihlak. That something becomes used and it no longer has its physical properties. So therefore, when we read certain things, for example, there are brothers who say, toothpaste, it contains pig fat. Yes, but the physical components, it is no longer pig fat. It has changed. And therefore, many of the scholars have issued fatawa, right fatawa, that say, since this thing has changed to a different thing, and even if you wanted to bring it back to pig fat, you can't, it becomes halal. Go to the book, learn which ingredients are permitted, which ingredients are not. Teach them, give them, distribute them, give them out to free to Muslims. I don't think these books should be sold. These should be common knowledge distributed to all Muslims. One of the person asks, and the question is in Arabic, is it permitted for a person to call out the name of Ya Hussein, or Ya Zainab, or Ya Rasulullah, or so forth, when he's in distress? Can he claim and say, Oh Hussein, help me, Oh Muhammad, help me? Such a statement, it is haram. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can't say, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help me. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot benefit you with anything other than what he has given as inheritance to the scholars, which is al-ilm that he has left behind. Therefore, only turn to Allah. هو الدار هو النافع. Allah is the one in who all good, and with who all good is with, and all harm can be prevented by him. It's not by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or al-Husayn, or Zainab. These are things that are cultural practices, and that have entered into al-Islam, not from the statements of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the habits of his Sahaba. We've never heard of any of the Sahaba, or any of the Tabi'een, saying, Ya Muhammad. Or any of the Tabi'een saying, Ya Ali. This was something that was never done or narrated. Some scholars say to say Sadaqallahu al-Azim after reciting the Qur'an is bid'ah or innovation. Please comment. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, it is something that the Rasul ﷺ didn't say. We all know that. It is not bid'ah to say it if it's only done occasionally. But if it is something that is taken that if I finish the Qur'an and or its recitation and I don't say it, that means I haven't stopped reading the Qur'an, as some people think, you have to say it or else anything you do after it's part of the Qur'an, that's wrong. So this is where you enter into something that is deemed incorrect. But saying Sadaqallahu al-Azim occasionally, it is something that is fine because Allah has spoken the truth. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهِ. Say, Allah has spoken the truth. But we don't take it as something that if we don't say it, we've done wrong or we're in sin. This is something that we must make clear, inshaAllah ta'ala. This was the number. How? What do we do if we live in a house bought with interest by a family member? Is our prayer and our Qur'an recitation rewarded? Yes. Your prayer and your Qur'an recitation is rewarded. Your deeds, alhamdulillah, and the person, although he owns the home and he lives in the home, his other deeds are permitted. Let us make it simple. If you are fasting, and you did not pray Salatul Dhuhr, is your fast for the day complete? Yes. But for missing Salatul Dhuhr, you've sinned. The same type of logic. This is how the fuqaha view it. These are two separate acts. Prayer, you have to pray. You can't say, I live in that house so I can't pray, it's not accepted. You can't say, I can't purchase halal food because kharbana kharbana. It's ruined, it's ruined. Be just, be on the truth, be in the middle course. Allahu Akbar. Concerning the ingredients, food, animals, cattle, sheep, etc., are fed meat byproducts that have been that they have been given vitamins and things from the meats or the meat byproducts, even though the physical nature of the meat, the vitamins and the proteins are being the source from the meat, chicken. No.
And they've been processed to turn into proteins. And they've proved to be harmful to these animals because
that's for the sisters.
That's not their natural food. And there's a hadith that says if you're going to kill a chicken food, you should confine it for 3 days in an area where you feed it
those foods.
Different
different animals or sex, even though the chemical composition is...
The question that is being asked, from what I perceive...
So should that fatwa be reviewed?
I'm not a person to say should the fatwa be reviewed. I will say yes, there has been a fatwa, and I will tell the brother yes, it is under review, and there are two other councils that are speaking of the fatwa about the feed of the animals. Yes. Yes. I'm not going to answer these questions, inshallah. No. The final statement, inshallah, copies of tapes will be made and sold in Auburn. So please keep in contact. Please give your donations to help establish firmly the new Dawah Center in Auburn. Brothers and sisters, give in the cardboard boxes that may have been placed in and around you. In regards to the sisters' questions, I did not know that the questions that were answered were only exclusively for the brothers. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. I see there's a great deal of questions that have been sent by the sisters. Okay, we will try to attend some of the questions. I give leave to any of my brothers who feel that they have young children and they wish to take them home. You may take them home, inshallah, without feeling any distress or that you have shown me any disrespect. Alhamdulillah, you may leave, inshallah. We will try to answer as many of the questions as we can. There are cars that are blocking each other. We will take one or two questions, inshallah.
Let them have a nap here. It's okay. It's nice and warm. Nice and warm.
Is it haram to deliver your organs after you die? Allahu alam. We'll make these quick, inshallah. If you pray in a room where there are music CDs, does that mean that your prayer is not accepted? Are music CDs considered haram? Are music CDs or the music on the CDs? CDs themselves are not haram. The music on it, it would depend what type of music, who's singing, what they're singing, what types of instrument. Generally speaking, the qa'ida, the principle that we always in Islam, we say the principle, generally, it's haram. When is it halal? In such and such and such circumstances. So therefore, it would depend on the type of music. As for praying in a room where there are objects that are forbidden, it is halal as long as the place you are praying itself is cleansed, inshaAllah ta'ala. We see that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu prayed in one of the churches of the Christians when he went to Jerusalem. And they had their icons and their images. Although he did not worship them, he worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal. As a Muslim, is it forbidden to live in this country, Australia? If you ask such a question, if it is within your means to go back to Muslim lands, I didn't say Muslim countries, said to Muslim lands. Muslim lands are the lands where Muslims reside. Just like disbelieving lands are the lands where disbelievers reside. If you have the ability to go back to Muslim lands where you will hear the adhan and the iqama and the salah, and we will have our culture and our way of life, and it will be easy for you, go. But if it is difficult and there's repression and you can't go and there's nothing for you there, then it is permitted for you to stay. Fulfill your obligation of da'wah. Once you have the opportunity to go there, then go. But if you do not have the opportunity, it is permitted for you to remain. Please explain that my husband is forcing my daughter to wear a scarf and that she won't wear it, and I am scared to force her to wear it because she is 23 now and I am too scared. Thank you. As I said before, hijab is a personal issue. This doesn't mean that the father becomes the youth. Doesn't yaqirru fi baytihi al-ma'siyah. At the youth, as the Rasul ﷺ said, shall not smell al-jannah. It's a man who allows his family and his folk to commit sin. So this Muslim man should convince his daughter, should allow her to have Muslim friends who wear hijab, introduce her, bring her to the masjid. Her mother should support the father. Why are you making two different sides? بالطبطب عليها Are you patting her on the back and saying, it's okay, don't listen, he's just harsh? If you're showing that you're equivocal and that there's a choice for her, she's not going to obey you. Show one solid front, which is Islam. Not asking you to do anything opposite than Islam. Hijab is Islam. Convince her, sit with her day and night. Show her you're displeased. Don't talk to her. Don't feed her. Don't cook for her. Don't wash her clothes. Don't drive her to school. Have no interaction with her until she turns to Allah Azza wa Jal. But be lenient. Be lenient. That is leniency. I'm not telling you be Gandhi and just stay there and stand and say, I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to be silent. No. Be forceful in your words and in your actions. Show what the truth is. Show your displeasure in the proper way. Don't speak to her. Don't feed her. Don't have any interactions with her. It's as if she's not living with you until she turns to Allah Azza wa Jal. Show her that you're displeased. Allow her to feel it and sense it. But be lenient. Don't be abusive. Don't curse her. Don't show her that you want her to wear hijab عشان كلام الناس. What are the people going to say? My daughter's 23. Don't say these words. Say it's for you. It's your sharaf. It's your honor. It's your Islam. And the mother should support the father because it is Islam. Please convince a sister's husband to permit her to study for Islam, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to help her children's Islam, to permit her to cover her face as well. If the Muslim sister wants to be stronger in Islam, and she feels that her husband is a little lacking and he's not pushing her, she should study, she should learn, she should do everything, but she should maintain her obedience to her husband as much as possible. In regards to the question, should she cover her face? She's saying she wants to cover her face. She shouldn't. She shouldn't cover her face unless her husband permits her. And this is the fatwa that some of the ulama have given. Even if it is something permitted for her to do. Because her husband's word in obedience to Allah is still valid. He's not telling her to take hijab off. If he tells her to take her hijab off and not meet the 7 minimum requirements, she has no obedience to him. But if she wants to do something that is sunnah, that is extra, just like if she wants to fast extra times, she should inform him. She wants to do extra things, she should inform him. Therefore, work together. And I beseech this brother, I turn to him honestly, how lucky you are to be married to a Muslim woman who wants to dignify yourself and wants to learn and wants to teach your children what you will acquire. Cultivate this, protect it. Don't work against it. In salah, when sitting after the second raqa, we say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Al-Albani said that this is wrong, please comment. I really cannot narrate to you the exact hadith that were quoted by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. So I really cannot comment on this issue. But if it was said, look why he said it. Maybe there was a reason why he said it. To my recollection, I cannot really remember this specific passage or this specific reason or which hadith this is found in. Wallahu a'lam. But please, you can return to the English translation or the Arabic book, insha'Allah ta'ala. And everyone makes mistakes, not because he is Shaykh al-Albani or Al-Faymin or Imam Ahmad or Imam Abu Hanifa, they're infallible. No, everyone makes mistakes. What are the consequences when a Muslim does evil writing on another Muslim? I guess magic. This is what evil writing, I think it means. Even learning about magic is haram. Just learning about magic, whether you're going to use it or not, is haram. So imagine a person who is doing it. Magic is of two types. magic that is illusion, سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ. The people of Pharaoh, they caused the eyes of the people who were watching to be chanted. Meaning that they're like David Copperfield. He tells you, I've hidden the Statue of Liberty. It's right there, you just can't see it. سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ. Trickery. But there's another type of magic. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ. Magic that is taught that builds a covenant. A person with the shaitan. He gets in touch with his devil. That's how they do magic. How do they do it? The person, remember we told you with every human there's a shaitan? That human being becomes so deviant that his shaitan reveals himself to him. Whether in images or in dreams, or in mirrors, or in water, or in things of this nature. And they build an oath. So when that individual wants to harm someone, he sends a shaitan to the other person's shaitan and does what he wishes. And that person who makes an oath with the shaitan, in Islam, his had, his divinely decreed punishment is death, no questions asked. Because he is now mushrik kafir. Entered into disbelief, by entering into a covenant with the shaitan. So his punishment is al-qatl bis-sayf. So therefore, the one who practices magic and is practicing it, and this type of magic is done with jinn, this person is to repent to Allah and renew their Islam. Because they've entered into things with the shaitan. I would just like some advice on how to help my family by praying and my sister to put the hijab. How do I go about it? As I mentioned to you before, be lenient, be forceful, but show that you are unwavering in hijab. It is Islam, it is your duty as a Muslimah. If a Muslim woman is in need of work in order to pay debt, what type of work is she permitted to do? Secretary or dental assistant, or what type of work is acceptable. Work in the home, for example, if you could arrange to be a babysitter where people will bring you their children to the home. Many Muslim sisters do this in Canada. Also, I know there's data entry positions. If a sister knows how to type, she can have people bring her documents that she types them into a computer that they will provide for her. She types them in the specific time they ask. That's permitted working in the home. If she is a teacher, she can work in a nursery, getting an early childhood certificate, education certificate, where she will work with younger children, grades 2, grade 3. She'll be interacting with mostly female teachers. Not too many men are in this field of study. Medicine, if she's a Muslimah, things of this nature, she should, if she had the ability, she should try to venture into it, inshallah. But don't, my Muslim sister, go to university and get a degree in psychology. Don't go and study sociology. Don't go and study botany. Study something that's going to be of benefit to the Muslim ummah and of benefit to you that you will be able to work with. Go into teaching, go into medicine. If your daughter has this aptitude and you can ensure that she has the certain skills, she will live with you at home. She has Muslim friends in her class. She has her brother in the school who will drive her and bring her up, pick her up. All of these things are met and she's a good Muslimah who wears hijab. Allow her to go to study. But once she feels herself that she's beginning to lose it, self-preservation is extremely important. Save yourself. Also study correspondence. It's a good way for Muslim men and women to study, inshaAllah. What is the best way to do tasbih? To do tasbih, do it the way that Rasulullah ﷺ did it. Do it on your fingers, say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. After the salah, do the dhikr that is prescribed. Do the dhikr when you wake up, do the dhikr when you are sleeping. The required things that the Rasulullah ﷺ used to say and do. In countries such as Afghanistan or Iran, the hijab and niqab has been forced upon women. What punishment or reward would women receive for wearing the hijab niqab for the sake of government? No reward, because every deed you do must be solely for Allah Azza wa Jal. Is the government in an Islamic country obliged to force women to wear hijab? in Islam, the government, the legislative bodies are supposed to have measures that deter people from disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-asl fil hudud, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, the reason of having hudud is to prohibit people and cause to be a deterrent. We don't want to cut the hand or to stone the one who is commits adultery. This isn't our goal in establishing the laws. It's so that they will be made an example for others. What is a man required to do when his wife refuses to wear hijab? We discuss this with you, inshallah. These are common questions for the women at work. Yes. Please explain to kids that screaming and being also, and also not agreeing with their parents is haram. Yes. I narrate to you another story, quickly. In Texas, in the U.S., this Muslim sister went to the shopping mall to pick up some groceries at around 9 a.m. in the morning. And she saw an old woman who was Muslima dressed in hijab sitting on a bench in the middle of the mall. So she went, picked up the shopping and went home. She forgot to pick up some things, so before the store closed at 8 p.m., remember she went 9 in the morning, at 8 p.m. she went back to pick up the things that she had forgotten. She found that this old woman is still sitting there. And when she approached her, she saw that the woman was crying and in pain. So she came to her and she told her, what is wrong? She said, the doctor hasn't come to see me yet. She told her, but you're in a mall. There is no doctors in this area. She told her, my son brought me and sat me here and said, sit and the doctor will come to you. So this Muslima left her number and her business card with the security people in the mall, since the mall was closing, and took this old Muslim woman with her to her home. Left her contact information so if that her son of the woman comes to ask, he'll know where his mother went. Upon driving to her home, the old Muslim woman passed away. For 3 days, no one called to ask about the woman. How can a person of this type stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment and accept and expect any good? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Be dutiful to your parents. With their dua, you will gain all success. And with their anger, you will gain all distress and hardship and evil. Be humble. Be accepting of your parents' wishes, as long as they are calling you to what is halal and what is good. We are down to the last few questions, inshaAllah. What is the best way preventing the shaitan speaking in terms of when one is angered quickly? Anger, my brothers and sisters, is one of the most quick vehicles that the shaitan enters the situation. And this is why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, when one of you becomes angered, let him make wudu. And if someone is standing and he's angry, let him sit down. And if he's still angry, let him lie down. A man comes to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, give me advice, murni. He tells him, la taghdab, don't ever be in a state of anger. Laysa al-qawiyyu al-qawiyyu bis-sur'a. The one who is strong is not the one who could wrestle people and is physically fit. The one who is strong, man malaka nafsahu fi ghadabih, is the one who can control himself when he is angry. Beat the shaitan when you are angry. The shaitan comes into the situations to blow it up even further. So be careful. My brother is a young teenager, smart and prays, but shaitan has taken him astray. What advice can I give him? Show him love. Show him that you're concerned with him. Get him tapes of Islamic teachers. Alhamdulillah, the brothers drove all the way from Melbourne to bring the tapes. They said, we want to come and listen to the lectures, and one of the brothers has to videotape. So that these tapes that we did in our tour of Australia, they will be available for you in the near future. They have tapes of previous people who came and gave lectures. Buy lectures that are specific to the things that you need to learn about. Once you've listened and you've understood it and you've taken your notes, give it off to someone else. You don't have to build a library. $2 a tape, you buy it, you listen to it, you keep it 2 weeks, give it to your brother, give it to your sister. And therefore you spread it around. I want to know if your husband is a gambler, it is haram, I know, to let him spend money on the house or the kids. And also, she's asking, is it haram to let him spend money on the house and the kids? And is it haram to take money of him for you to spend on the house or the kids, even though you get paid of social security? Allahu a'lam, la adri. Gabriel came and made dua and said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من أدرك رمضان ولم يغفر له فأبعده الله. Let the one who lives to see that the month of Ramadan arrives and he does not earn Allah's forgiveness by praying and fasting and being righteous, may Allah distance him. So the Rasul ﷺ said, Ameen. And then Jibreel made a dua and said, وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ وَالِدَيْهِ أَوْ أَحَدَهُمَا أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ. Let the one who lives to see one or two of his parents in an age, old age, and does not earn Allah's forgiveness by being good to them, may Allah distance him. Keep him away. So the Rasul ﷺ made dua and said, Ameen. And then the third Ameen, Jibreel had said, وَمَنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ. And let the one who you are remembered and spoken of in front of him, and he does not say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah distance him. فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ. Very important to be good to our parents and to earn the Jannah through them. فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ. Person asked to go and make jihad. And the Rasul ﷺ told him, do you have parents? He said, yes. He told him, go and make your jihad in them or with them. Turn to them and make your jihad with them. These are the words I leave you with. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our blessing a blessing of goodness and a blessing and a setting of knowledge and of benefit. Whatever that was said that is of good, it is from Allah. And whatever that was said that is of a mistake, then it is from me and from the shaitan. Wallahu wa rasuluhu minhu bara. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make me a bridge that you will cross over to Jannah and that it be thrown into the hellfire. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover our sins and our evil deeds from the sights of other people and to give us the ability to repent for them before we are exposed. I remind you finally to be generous. Give the brothers what they need to fulfill their obligations to bring people who will speak to you. Many people, they say, Alhamdulillah, thank you, you've come. You've been so good, mashallah. We wish more people would come. Do you know why more people don't come? Because you do not have the initiative to bring them. I will not be able to come from Canada and take time off work unless the brothers will pay for the plane ticket. I say to you honestly, I didn't pay for the plane ticket to come to Australia. This is the only way that I would be able to come and visit you. So all of these masajid and all of these brothers came together to pay for the plane ticket and to pay for my stay, alhamdulillah. This is all that we ask. Nothing more. Bring us here and feed us. Faqat. Alhamdulillah. So we're here for these 2 weeks and you ask, well, why don't more people come? Because you are not giving. Give so that people will come, if not every month, if not every two, in every three. Have it something that you will look forward to. In 3 months, people will come. So therefore, be generous with the brothers. Give so that people will be able to come and give you the good word. The word of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Don't let yourself be fooled. You know the missionaries They go to Africa. The people, the Christians, they go to Africa. And you know how they convince people? They come, and this is narrated by Sheikh Ahmed Didat. They'll come to a camp of Muslims. And they'll make a big feast. All the different types of fruits and vegetables and rice and everything is nice. And they'll bring all the Muslim kids to come and eat, and they enjoy themselves. And they give them soccer balls to play with. And then they wrap up everything. And then they come back the next day. And they give them stale bread and sour milk. This was seen by a Sheikh Ahmed Didat. They give them stale milk and stale bread. Sour milk and stale bread. And they tell them, yesterday you had the food of Isa. This is the food of Muhammad. See how they use their skills. See how they brainwash. We don't come to you and do stupid things like that. We come to you and we say, قال الله وقال رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Have you heard anything except قال الله وقال رسوله? If you have, don't listen. We don't try to befool you or trick you. The scholars of Islam want nothing from you. The donation you're giving isn't for me. It's not for the brothers, it's not for the people. It's for you. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً That will purify them, تُطَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ Purify them and cleanse them. So give in the path of Allah. أَسْتَحْلِفُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ I ask you by Allah to be generous with the brothers who organized this and took from their time, took from their energy, took days off work so that they will be tour guides to me. Alhamdulillah, they took me around the Sydney Harbour, showed me a great time this morning. جَزَاهُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا So these are the words I leave you with. Be and live Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hayya ala salam.